It's certainly good to be here in the house of the Lord. I heard a writer from a long time ago simply said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Not only will they worship the great God of the heavens, but they'll also will heal up all the wounds of those who have been traveling those dusty roads of life. And we're so grateful that all of us are here today for one thing, that is to praise God. And as a result of that, we will be uplifting the very hearts and souls of all of those whom are present with us within these walls and those whom are worshiping with us virtually. We're so grateful that God has given us another opportunity, my friends, to be able to do one thing, and that is to bring glory to his name, while we also bring gladness into the hearts of men. I want you to turn with me to our scripture reading, and I'm so grateful for all the brethren as they led us so far. If you could put that scripture reading up for us, but it's Happy Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to eat. I'm ready to eat. But the idea of it is. All right, so we're off in that Colossians. Can you put that Philippian scripture up for me? If not, then I'm going to go ahead and read it then. In the Philippian letter, we're so grateful. Philippian chapter 2, I think what it was, wasn't it? Yes. Listen to what it said. And I like that, right? What it said, 4, you got it right. Let your gentleness be known. In other words, it's a Greek word, simply means our reasonableness, our ability to sit down and talk with people, to be able to let them know that we're not the type of people who just run off and not think before we do anything, or we are not really contemplating the consequences of our every thought and behavior. We are the kind of people, our gentleness should be known among all men. The Lord is at hand, and be anxious. Be anxious, he says, for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto the Lord, and the peace of God, the irene to theo. We're talking about the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. So I want to talk with us this morning about happy Thanksgiving. All right, I usually say, all right, let me find my switch here. If not, got it. Thank you. Yeah, I got that. I don't know about you, but I want you to think for a second. Because all of us, no matter how difficult and desperate our times have been, all of us have something for which we ought to be thankful this morning. Our days may not have been the days that we had anticipated or had hoped. And sometimes our lives have been so kind of cold. But I still believe that all of us, if we would just pause for a moment, just look back, we have something for which we ought to be thankful today. Because we serve a good God. We think about it. We're talking about Thanksgiving. We can think about all the things that God has brought into our lives. We have our families, our friends, our faith, and all these other things that are there before us. And every one of us, from the youngest until the eldest of us, we have something for which we ought to be grateful and thankful. Because our God has been a good giving God. And I like and I hope that you have read the article written by my good brother and by my good teammate Brian. Up on the front of the bulletin about Thanksgiving. It all is a constant reminder of all of the great things that God has given us. And sometimes we need to pause and thank God, and not only thank God for them, but to just relish in all his goodness he's given unto us. Thanksgiving. What is it? Well, it's being grateful for something or for someone. Because the things that have happened in our life, that have taken place in our life, that have transpired in our lives, Those things are sometimes very transformative. And the people who have entered into our lives, they've been a listening ear, they've been a caring heart, they've been a compassionate arm. Those people who are there with us in our lives, we ought to be grateful, because people who make a difference in our lives. It's about being transformative, and it's about being inspirational. And we ought to be grateful to God for that. That's what it means. We ought to be thankful. As he simply said in Colossians, we ought to let the peace of God rule in our hearts, so that when we realize that those things brings us not only to that, but into his kingdom as well, as we enjoy life in his kingdom. And then he says, and be ye thankful. The peace of God, the body of Christ, that should bring some thoughtfulness and some thankfulness into our hearts. Because that's what Thanksgiving is all about. It's about thanking God. It's about having a gratitude. Because I believe a gratitude, it is an attitude that we all ought to have. We all ought to have that gratitude. We need to sit down, as the song simply says, we ought to count your many blessings and see what God has done. Webster said it's being grateful for something or someone. And every last one of us have something for which to be grateful this morning. And I want to talk as quickly as I can about these four different things. We ought to be thankful about our faith. We ought to be thankful for our families. We ought to be thankful for the fortunes that we have. And we ought to be thankful for the future that God has awaiting us. And whenever we think about these things, there's no way in the world that I can leave this place. No way in the world that I can go about my day without being thankful unto the God of heaven, who has given me so much in this life that I never could have ever fathomed within my mind. But I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful. Now let's talk about it. It's a mindset. It's not just a day. It's a mindset. It's not just a mood that I'm in. It's a mindset that leads to my manners. When I start thinking about things and really being grateful, then you're going to find me doing things differently. You're going to find me appreciating all the little subtle things that oftentimes get by me. Because Thanksgiving is a mindset. It's not a mood that I get in around at a certain time of the year. It is a mindset that I am exploring, is a mindset that I am experiencing every day of my life. Ephesians 5:20, we ought to give thanks how long? Every day, always. And I like what this lady said. Thanksgiving come but once a year. Every day should be a day of thanks. And do you all agree? I know I do. Every day is Thanksgiving. And every day we ought to be giving thanks. Why? Because that is a mindset. It's not just a mood that I'm in. It is a mindset that I live. See that? Faith sees. I want you to fasten on this, because number one, what I'm thankful for is my faith. You may look at it and say, I believe in God, and some of us just don't really understand just how important it is to have faith in God. I know there are a lot of folks who don't believe in God. I've ran into a lot of atheists, and I know some people who kind of move in the middle agnostically, saying he could or he couldn't. Well, if he could or he couldn't, then I would rather go with the could than the couldn't. I understand that my faith, I ought to be thankful for that, because faith is the substance of things that's hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. My faith is based on a hope, and that hope is not just something I'm wishing for. It is a desire with an expectation. That's why I'm thankful for my faith, because I understand and I realize and I can look back and I can see the days, the months and the years when I didn't have faith. I can see exactly how I was behaving. I can see how I was misbehaving. I can see why I was doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. Why? Because I didn't have faith. And I thank God now that I have faith, because I've changed my thoughts. And if I change my thoughts, I change my ideas, and I change my ideas, I change my action. But faith allows me to see what no one can see, because that's things that's hoped for. There has to be a better day. And I know right now there's a better way. If it was not for faith, I have no idea where I'd be right now, because I'm learning to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm learning to trust in God, and I'm glad that I have faith. The writer said before, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Unwise people, people who are intelligent, and that's why I'm always saying that there's quite a difference, quite a gigantic leap. There is a chasm between being educated, intelligent, and wise. We have a lot of educated folk, but they're not wise people. But I'm glad, as the psalmist said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But I know without faith it is impossible to please this God. Because everybody who comes to God must believe that he is. And not only do we believe that he is, but we also believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I understand that there's a better day coming. Some great things are ahead of me. We were talking about in Bible class that Bart was leading us. The ideal of it is that there's some better things that's on our way, and that causes me to hold on. I had a difficult time having faith. Coming up in my home background, coming up in my neighborhood background, I had a difficult time believing that there was a good God. And if he was good, why wasn't he good to us? If he was such a great God, then why all the bad things happening to us? If he was an all-caring God, how come he's not stopping me from doing what I ought not be? The ideal of it is, I didn't have faith at all. But I'm thankful to God that I've come to accept the fact that there is a great God sitting on high, and he always looks low. And this God looks out for his creation, because it was through his wonderful hand, his handiwork, that I am without faith. John sitting off locked up on the island of Patmos. You find him saying, our victory is our faith. Faith is a virtue that leads to our victory. So we're not just talking about mere belief. We're talking about a trusting in this God who instills this belief. We're talking about a strong will of drawing to God that really had me going strong. Why? Because I believe in this God, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my faith. What about you all? I messed that picture up, but I'm trying to get the ideal of a cross, that Thanksgiving is celebrated throughout the world in different corners of our communities. Makes any difference whether it be over here in the Native American, whether it be in the Asian American community, whether it be over in this community. It is celebrated everywhere by every group dynamic. We're talking about Thanksgiving. We're talking about our families. We're talking about our get-togethers. Not to just feed our bodies, but to nourish our souls. This is the time when we sit down and when we laugh and talk. This is time when we sit down and we just feed our bodies so much that we can't even stand awake any longer. But this is about feeding the souls. And it's celebrated everywhere. I'm thankful for my family. How about you? Are you grateful for your families? Somebody would say, whether they are near or far. We're talking about not just in terms of mileage, whether they are from me or they are distant from me, from an emotional point. You ought to be thankful for your families, right? Because there are so many people today So many people today who don't have the families that you have, who don't enjoy that sense of closeness that you enjoy, don't have that sense of team, as we were talking about, as you enjoy, don't have that filial love as they should, don't have that familial love as they ought. We don't have all of that. Why? Parents and children, they respect each other. That's what family is all about. And you ought to be thankful that he's reaching his arm up to put it in your hands, and you're reaching down to put it in her hands, and you all are just walking together, laughing and talking. You ought to be thankful for that. Husband and wives, they develop and display this great sense of love. That is what we ought to be thankful about. Oh, we have our disagreements. We have our moments of disconnection. But I tell you what, when you think about families, you ought to be grateful. A lot of people wish they had what you have, your relationships, that is. Friends, we need them too. They support us. Are you thankful for your faith that keeps you balanced, that keeps you reasonable, that keeps you sane? What about your families? Are you happy? Oh, that boy of mine about to drive me up the wall. And sometimes it's the girl that's about to drive you up the wall. But the ideal of it is that this is your family. Be thankful. Be thankful. What we need to do is just go ahead and learn how to climb some walls. That's what we need to learn how to do. If they dry you up, then learn how to climb it. So if you learn how to do that, then you can keep your family and say, okay, she's just going through his faith. He's just going through his faith. He'll come down anyway. All right. So we learn how to do that. Husband, love your wives. Display the kind of love. Oh, yes. There'll be some differences sometimes. You know, she likes cold. He likes this and she likes that. Listen, the ideal, all of those things are, in my mind, insignificant in comparison. So I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I know you, husband. You hope you're thankful for them. I know you wanted them. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for this. Why? Because that's something you never thought you would have. And the friends, are you thankful? Friend, love it at all times, says Proverbs. And a brother's born for adversity. Even in other places, there's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. Friendships is not all about biology. It's about the emotional. It is about the will. As you weld a relationship, as you weld it together and you build it together, this is what friendship's about. You ought to be thankful that you got someone. I'm thankful for my friend. I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for him. Why? Because it's Thanksgiving, and I just want to give a shout out to God, and I'm thanking God for my friend. How many of us would do that? What are we thankful for? We ought to be thankful for our fortunes. I got that small for a reason. The Bible said a man ought not, his life ought not consist of the things in which he possesses. Some of us are thinking about the more that we have, the better we are. And I hope that will really be the case. I like to see you have everything you need and more than you could ever use. But the ideal of that, we ought not to put our lives and value as to what we have and what we don't have. Our fortune may not be here. Our fortune may be down there. These are a couple. This is a family. They are called minimalist. They are called people who don't want to have a lot. They don't need a lot. They just want to be around each other a lot more. So consequently, the space where they live, that's not the major thing. It's the space that they have in their heart for one another. That's what really matters to them. So we got minimalists. Their lives are not consistent about all the stuff that they've gotten over the years. Their lives is about how close they have grown together over the years. That's why they're thankful. I'm thankful for the fortune because all of us are rich. All of us are rich. A man's life consists not in the abundance of things that he possesses. I mean, if that's all it is, I just go buy a lot of stuff and pack it up and see. And that's called hoarding. You don't want to do that. Right? Then you'd be calling John. You'd be want to talk with me about this hoarding thing. The ideal of it is that it's not about that. It's about not getting all the things to fill the house, but being close to one another that we fill the house. That's what it's all about. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. He said, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Somebody said, well, how can I make it? How would I ever make it? You know, times are rough. Inflation is going through the roof. My money is gone. I got more time in this month than I have money in this month. The ideal of it is I can't make it. But I like what the Apostle Paul said in the Philippian letter. He said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Look at those contrasts. Abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed. He knows. You need to learn how to teach yourself. One of the best teachers that you'll ever find would be the one you look at in the mirror. He simply said, listen here. And I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. He understands that days, and what the song said, Mama said, there'll be days like this. Well, there will be days like this. And when it happens like this, you need to keep your faith and realizing that your treasures are not here, but they're laid up somewhere beyond the blue, not in the corner. Not in the safe box, not off in the little cabinets. Your treasures are laid up beyond the blue. And whenever we start thinking about what we have here is the measure of who I am everywhere, then I've lost sight of what the true meaning of life is. I've learned how to be full and hungry. And no one, he says in verse number 13, Philippians 4, I want you to go home and read that. I can do all things through Christ. What do you mean? Boy, listen, I can handle my riches and I can also handle my poverty. I can deal with the ups and downs of life. I can understand the ins and outs of life. I've seen some good, bright, sunny days and I've seen some long, cold, dark nights. I understand how to deal with all of them. How? Because I've taught myself. Life teaches me and I can do that. And that's why he simply says, I can do all things. I know how to handle it. When I'm having all of it, I know how to walk. When I don't have any of it, I know how to talk. Why? Because, listen, I've been instructed. God lets me know I can handle my riches and I can handle my poverty. Be thankful. Here's this guy. I had hopes of going to the Olympics. Man, I tell you, that messed me up back in 1980. My point was to go to the Olympics, win me a gold medal, and then come out and turn pro, make me a whole lot of money. Might not have had no brains left, but I'd have had some money. So I was all up to it. So now, man, maybe that was a blessing, man, a blessing to me. But here's this guy looking for his crown in life. His is a fortune. What are you running for? What's meaningful for you in life? I mean, what is it that's really got you? I want to get that little wreath put around my hair. That showed I want it. He's happy. What's your fortune? What are you looking for? What are you thankful for? Oh, not of us. I know some of you all, you won high school football championships and things like that. Some of you have done all that. You know, that's a great feeling to feel like I won. And boy, when it comes down to us in life, all of us can be winners. All of us can be winners. Because listen, everybody who's striving for the mastery has to be temperate in all things. They do it for a corruptible crown, but we do it for an incorruptible one. Why are you doing? I'm happy. What's it all about? I'm going to have a good life here. But I'm going to have a better life after a while. I'm thankful for my future. What do you mean, John? I know, times are tough, but I understand right now the wheels of time are continually turning. I understand I'm going further down the road than I have imagined, and sooner, quicker than I ever really thought. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. I got a future. I got a bright future ahead of me. What do you mean? Well, so we tell our young folks that, and we should. Boy, he sure has a bright future. She has a great future, a bright one before. You have a bright future. Those who have been buried with Christ in baptism, those who have walked every day of their life, those who have looked at the cross, they have denied themselves, and they are walking straightly with God's will. You got a lot they're looking for. You got a bright future. Not only do you have good life right now, but your future is so bright. We used to say, you got to wear some shades. This is bright. My future is this. Give me at that day. But not to me only, but all them that love the Lord and love his appearing. That's my future. I have a crown waiting me, not one that dries during the heat of the day. Not one that crumbles with time. I have a crown, as we said before, even our class in 1 Peter, we're studying right now. I have an inheritance. How many of you leaving your children an inheritance? I know the children are saying, yeah, that's right. Tell them. How many of you want to have an inheritance? We have an inheritance. You know that when this is all over, something coming your way. My name is in his will. Jesus Christ's will, when it's read and done, when we all get up on that morning when the trump sound and time be no more, and we stand before him. I'm in his will. I have an inheritance. It's an incorruptible one, undefiled one. It doesn't fade away with heat. The heat of the sun doesn't dry it. The wind don't carry it. I have a crown that faded not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Listen, this is good. You mean God left me in his will? Oh, yes, you're in his will. You keep walking. You're in his will. You mean God reserving a place for me? Got your name on it. Got your name on it. You mean what I is set for you? You're the only one that can not show up. But God sets it for you. If you reject it, don't show up. That's our business. But I'm thankful for my future. I don't know about you. I got a bright future. I don't know about you. I've enjoyed a good life more than I ever had anticipated. Doing things, going places, saying things. I never thought in my mind, but I believe in the power of God. I believe in his presence in my life, and I depend upon his providence. Why? I don't know what it's going to be like. But I know what he said he'll do for me. And I march on. How do you develop that thankful heart? And then I'm going to let you go. Two things. We need to assess your blessing and address your blessing. He said, I've learned therewith to be content. You know what you need to do? Assess your blessing. Boy, some of your parents, some of your siblings, some of your grandparents, and even when you get to that point, you'll be looking back. Your children and grandchildren will be saying to you, Paul did it, didn't he? All of this, generations after generation, they blessed us. Be content. When upon life billows, the song said, your tempest tossed. When you are, young people, discouraged and thinking that all is lost, You count your many blessings. You name them one by one. The song said, and it will surprise you. Why? What the Lord has done. There's nothing that God does surprises me anymore. As a matter of fact, I long for them. I'm not surprised that I am this. I'm not surprised that I'm here. I'm not surprised that I'm that. Why? Because if you know what you're doing, it's not like you're shocked and surprised. It's not like it was when I graduated from high school. I was surprised. I'm telling you the truth. I did not know I was graduating until the night of the graduation. They had a policy over there. They said, everybody who's scheduled to graduate, you have to march in line. So if you ever see my high school, that little book we got, I was surprised at everybody. I was surprised. So they make you walk. They had the little booklet, and if you graduated, there was a diploma. If you didn't, there was just a piece of paper. I walked across there, and I jumped up, and they said, John Thomas Ferguson. So I jumped up, had my stacks on, walked on across there, and shook Mr. Walker's hand. I said, hey. I was fine like that. And he said, okay. And I walked across there and I peeked up under to see if I really made it or not. And when I did, I just jumped up right after that and I told everybody off in the assembly, I got it, y'all. I got it. I was surprised. But accept your blessings. That's no surprise. Address your blessing. You remember these men who were bound for death? They came to Jesus and he healed them. Every last one. There's a song that says, you know, Lord, you know, you've been so good. You watch over me while I sleep. Lord, you know, you've been so good. You know, I could have been dead lying in my grave. But Lord, you know, you spared my life. We need to learn how to address our blesser. Jesus is good at mathematics. He said, well, didn't I heal? I know how many folks I can heal. Jesus can count. And when he got all back, he said, well, now, wait a minute. Number one, come back. Did I not? Yes, you did. So he may be simply saying to you and me, John, did I not? Well, yeah. I need to stop and just start addressing the blessing. Say, yes, he come back. And he think, it's a great thing to go to God, a great blesser. I need to address him in the way that I should. And I ought to give him thanks. Because true thanksgiving means that we need to thank God for what he has done for. Not what we have done for him. The ideal of it is this. I want to be thankful. Thankful for everything that I have because God has been so good. Now, here's the greatest way that you and I could ever thank God. You know how that is? That is that we give our life to him. That we become all that he wishes for us to become. That is a good, bright, shining light. Not only that blesses those around them, but also they bring glory to those who brought it upon you. Let your light shine before men. That's the total end of it. That they may see your good works and glorify God. What do I do? How do I show God? I want to thank you. Number one, the greatest thing that we could do is thank him for his greatest gift, and that's Jesus. Died on the cross. Shed his blood, buried in a bar rock tomb, and resurrected the third day by the power of God Almighty. He's still in heaven. He brought the church into existence. It is this gospel that we ought not be ashamed of. We ought to stand proudly and walk within it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, says Paul, for it is the power of God and the salvation for everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. This is a gospel that is a culturally connecting gospel. This is a gospel that reaches down to the smallest of places and to the highest hill. Why? Because God is not ashamed, and neither should we be. And if it's the gospel, I believe it. Jesus born of a Virgin Mary. Jesus crucified on a cross. Jesus resurrected the third day. Jesus is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. And if I could be planted in likeness of his death, in my baptism, when I realize I've done wrong and I've wronged myself, then God will forgive us when we know why we're going down. To forgive us of our sin. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts 2, 37. And they said, you need to repent. Every last one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. You got to be repent, and you got to be baptized, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. What are we going to do? It's time now. I'm going to enjoy this Thanksgiving. Probably about 3-4 pounds of it. But I'm going to enjoy it. And when I enjoy it, I'm going to be thinking about all of that. Not just all the goodies, but I'm thinking about all the goodness that God has given unto me and God has given unto you. So let all of us, those of us who are children of his, be thankful. And if you haven't been, you owe God a confession. And you even owe yourself a confession because you've done yourself a great deal of harm by not being thankful. As together we stand and sing.